Welcome to the Grid Gas Bags podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Eleanor and...
And I'm Katrina.
What a race.
So in case you haven't realised, this is our post-France 2022 GP podcast and... There are no words. So right after the race is finished, for those of you...
Spoilers alert, by the way.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched it, please do. But the top five was Verstappen first, Hamilton second,
Russell.
A very close Russell third, Perez fourth, Sainz fifth.
Hey, I guessed Sainz was fifth. I guess Sainz would come fifth. My boy Sainz.
He did. Done so, well. So first of all, on the positive note, Sainz did absolutely amazing.
Very, very good start. Very, very good start.
He did amazing. So from
both
ninth,
he and Magnussen, very, very good start.
Yeah, Magnussen went up from 20th to, I think at one point he was 13th. Did amazing. Seven positions and then...
Both Magnussen and Schumacher pitted too early. Yeah. Right before a safety car.
Yeah, so then Sainz managed to go from 19th up, I think, until 12th. And then the safety car, that was a pure knife to the heart.
Oh, so on lap 19, so Leclerc was leading well ahead of Verstappen.
Just... I wouldn't say comfortably, but he made it to the point where there was a gap that he could have held it for a decent amount of time. Because they were on the same tyres.
But Verstappen was so close, it was causing him issues with the tyres anyway.
So Verstappen pitted on lap 17.
Went straight to hards. So they both started off on mediums. Verstappen pitted and went to hards. And was he came out at what, 11th or 12th or something?
Yeah, he came out mid-pack. He came out just after Norris. Norris was 6th or something. And then he managed to overtake. And then at that point... Leclerc lost control of his car and went straight into the barrier. So on just before hitting play on this, my hands were covering my face. Eleanor's hands were covering her face, and we just went on to the radio replay of that incident. And the scream that came out of his radio
Charles Leclerc engineer was like, "Oh, are you okay?" He's like, "Yes." And then he's just breathing really heavily.
And you
like,
don't know breathing whether he's really about to heavily. Throw up or cry, and then he just screams into the radio.
Oh, it was a piercing scream, like pure anger.
Yeah, it was like a hatred anger.
Oh.
Anyway, so that's when
it cut to the bone.
It does, yeah.
Oh my god.
So that's when Ferrari's race turned essentially to pure shit. So
No, Sainz was doing really well.
No, that's it. Sainz was doing amazing and they're like, okay.
Because Sainz started off on hards. It was only Sainz and a couple of other drivers that started on hards. Everyone else started on mediums.
However, the issue being with Leclerc causing the safety car of him getting his car out, they decided to pit Sainz onto a medium set, and then they kept him on it for way too long. Sainz managed to get all the way up to the pack.
Everyone pitted onto hards.
Yeah, he managed to get all the way up until P3 at one point, and then, what, 12
10
laps before
10
the end?
10 laps to go.
They decided to pit him at a 27-second pit stop plus a 5-second penalty. I mean, he did absolutely to get back up to fifth, but what the fuck were Ferrari doing? Excuse my language, but it's... If you want to pit someone because they have won the penalty to, you know, their tyres aren't going to last until the end, you're not going to know that their tyres aren't going to last until the end 10 laps before the end. You're going to know that looking at all of the data that Charles Leclerc's car would have had and the data of every other person running mediums at the beginning of the race. Why did they not pull him in at lap 33?
But
34, 35, when he was not sitting in third, he was sitting at fourth, and he could have very easily... gotten back to third, because after that pit stop he went from 32 seconds behind, and he managed to increase. If it was another 5 laps he would have been second.
But the race engineer told him to overtake told him to pit.
To pit when he was overtaking Perez. Just as he was
overtaking Perez. Oh, I feel for Sainz. I really do. He could have came third. But that being said, Hamilton got his first second place of the whole season.
And Mercedes has had their first podium all year. And that's done them absolutely wonders. And they've totally closed up on Ferrari within the constructors. The only saving grace for us at the moment is that Sainz has still held on to his fourth place within the Drivers' Championship.
But Russell
on 144 points. Then Russell, if I've done my quick maths correctly, Russell's is on 143. So I think Verstappen's very clearly in the lead now. Charles Leclerc has the ability to catch up. I don't think anyone's doubting his ability as a driver. But though he made that mistake, it's the mistake combined with strategy moves that are really screwing them around. I don't think they're going to do well enough this year in order to get him there. However, have you seen all the numerology things that have come out about Charles Leclerc?
The numerology things?
Yeah, so it's common knowledge that Charles Leclerc amongst Ferrari fans is nicknamed Il Predestinato.
Okay, explain what that means. Il Predestinato.
Yeah, so he's predestined. He's the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who's predicted to bring Ferrari back into its glory. That's the nickname he's been given.
They've jinxed him.
Yeah, so yes, the one they've jinxed him, but two, there's something about it.
So what's the theory behind Il Predestinato?
That's not what I'm talking about. So
explain
what I am. So someone did a quick numbers analogy of what it would be, and if
numbers analogy.
Yeah, so like patterns and stuff. So if Charles Leclerc wins the World Drivers' Championship next year, it's then been 16 years since the last Ferrari
World Drivers'
Championship. So it's been 16 years since Raikkonen won in 2007. He is number 16.
Number 16.
And he would then be the 16th Ferrari world champion.
So he won't win this year.
So that's why I'm saying he won't win this year, because as fate would have
it. What's that got to do with Sainz? 55 races later?
No, if he
55 years later?
If Leclerc is driver 16, is the 16th Ferrari World Championship, 16 years after Raikkonen.
So starting in the French Grand Prix, he's number 16 and it was his 16th ever pole.
So there's two things, but anyway, that's just what it's, yeah. So Sainz will become World Drivers' Champion in 55 years' time.
Oh, but that being said, Russell did a very, very good job
defending. I would love to see.
Defending against Perez. But hold on. I am an oracle. Alonso made his car as big as possible and made sure nobody passed him. Oh, good old Alonso.
I would love to see the FIA documents once they're released fully after the race to see if Russell did get
a penalty for clipping.
For breaching track limits.
Oh.
Because, obviously Perez is going to go to the radio and be like, oh, yeah, Russell's gone off here. If the FIA are as stringent as they have been in the previous races and decide to take action on it, that would be interesting. If he gets a 5-second penalty, Perez then bumps up to third.
Sainz will still be fourth in the leadership.
I know, but still. If Perez goes to third, that's even better for Sainz, because then the gap to him and Russell between fourth and fifth is more.
But
congratulations to Max. He did a great job.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Driving in his own little race near nobody. Same as Hamilton. Driving near absolutely nobody.
Loved how Vettel was trying to overtake Stroll at the very end.
I'm sorry.
On the final lap, right near the finish line, Vettel nearly clipped Stroll.
Yeah, both.
He wasn't
going to
gain anything. They'd already passed. Stroll was already 10th. Vettel was already 11th. And Vettel nearly clipped him after the finish line.
I'm sorry.
Special place in my heart for Vettel.
But Stroll had, apart from he had a Leclerc's,
good race. He had a really good race.
Apart from Leclerc's absolutely piercing scream on the radio, next favourite for me was Stroll's radio. What was it? It was lap
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't write it down.
I've got a list of notes next to us.
It was, I think it was, yeah, lap.
Leave me alone. On the radio.
On the radio.
No, but that being said, also some good radio points. Fernando Alonso. Oh, he was just like, so Fernando was one place ahead of Norris. It was a DRS train. It was Fernando, Norris, Ricciardo, and then Ocon. Fernando was holding up Norris and Ricciardo enough to Ocon to be close enough to Ricciardo to potentially overtake. And it clips to Alonso's radio saying, I want Norris close to kill the tires. Like, he's just so spiteful. Oh, Alonso just old school driving tactics make his Ferrari as wide as possible.
And we called
and
it.
And ruin the tires.
And we called it. And he did.
It was a repeat Monaco. It was a 20 something second gap between Alonso and the person ahead of him.
Yeah. Just la 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 la. Slow down, everybody. I am here. If I can't win, I'm going to make sure that you're all stuck behind me. But yeah, so that's a quick summary of our race notes.
But hold on. Predictions? Katrina's predictions were Leclerc first, wrong. Hamilton second, correct. Yay. Russell third, correct. Verstappen fourth, nope. Schumacher fifth. Where did Schumacher even finish?
I think he finished like... No, he finished. Magnussen didn't finish. There were 5 DNFs.
Magnussen didn't finish?
No, Magnussen didn't finish. I think he...
My golden retriever.
Hold on, let me just have a double check on my phone.
My golden retriever didn't finish. And your prediction was Sainz was in points. You were correct. Sainz was in points.
Sainz was in points.
So my prediction was Verstappen first, Leclerc second, Russell third, Hamilton fourth, Sainz fifth. So, and I said my golden retriever was Magnussen sixth. Unfortunately, he didn't get sixth. But over and all, did very well. Very surprised for Jimmy Ricciardo. Yeah. Racetrack.
Oh, I looked at the lyrics. It's J.R. Jimmy Ricciardo, not hey, yeah.
Close enough. But overall, the French Grand Prix has kind of been underwhelming.
Oh, wait, before you go on to that. So, excuse the radio audio. So the actual final order was Verstappen first, Hamilton second, Russell third, Perez fourth, Sainz fifth, Alonso sixth, Norris 7, Ocon 8. Ocon did overtake Ricciardo.
I did.
Ricciardo 9, Stroll 10, Vettel 11. Gasly came 12th. Good on him.
Oh, okay. Before you finish the rest.
Albon 13, Bottas 14, Schumacher 15, and then the
DNFs.
DNFs
Magnussen, Tsunoda.
Zoe, Latifi, Magnussen, Leclerc, Tsunoda. Dare I say, no one paid any attention to Tsunoda's DNF because it happened at the same time as Leclerc's. Yeah. But if you have a look at the...
A chunk missing out of his...
It looked like someone had just gone in with some jaggedy Stanley knife and just gone with like a zigzag along the side of his side pod.
But going back to Pierre Gasly, his parents look so happy.
So happy he was doing well.
Oh, it's nice to see in his home race that his parents are there, really, really happy. But poor Tsunoda being knocked out.
It's hard because the AlphaTauris this year
had potential.
Potential based on last year. Their car last year them amazing, but I don't know what they've done with the progression of development this year. But as each race goes on, I feel as if the driver's confidence is lacking.
Do you think it's something to do with the drivers? So who drove last year? Gasly and who else in AlphaTauri?
No, Tsunoda was also there last year.
Was Tsunoda last year?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought Albon was last year. No, Albon... No.
Albon's not been with...
No, he was in
AlphaTauri for ages.
Was he in Red Bull?
He went Red Bull and then got dropped. Oh, so they dropped Albon and then re-signed Perez.
Oh, yes, I forgot about Checo.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But I'm really glad my predictions came partially true. But, just before this podcast.
But Sainz's toe in quali was all for nothing.
Sad. But you know what? He cannot be blamed for Leclerc's mistake.
No, but knowing our bias, it's kind of sad how Sainz could have...
It was painfully sad.
Sainz could have come third.
We have to share the podiums. We have to share everything in life. You and I are used to it. Why can't we share the glory of our favourite drivers as well? Not having to win, but having what, fifth and
fifth is very good from last.
One thing fifth that is very, very said, good from though, last.
It reminds me of Button in Brazil, except he didn't win. But
having a look at Brazil? How well
no the, Canada,
but having a look at how well the Ferrari cars did today is hugely positive for Hungary next week. But also, I don't think McLaren have turned a corner.
No,
they are improving. Mercedes have turned a corner. If Ferrari aren't careful, Mercedes is going to be second in the constructors.
But the gap
and then
between
Ferrari will be third. It's like 40 points.
Yeah, but the gap between third and fourth, it's McLaren. McLaren
it's like 200
before,
to 80.
Before the French, before this French Grand Prix, McLaren were equal to Alpine on 81 points. Yeah. Oh.
But one thing that we were mentioning before the race is that we were concerned about track temperatures and general safety. Bless his soul. Max almost knocked himself out with his ice vest.
When was this?
Before. So I wasn't you weren't having watched the TV at that point. But do you know how they have the life vests? Life vests. They have the ice.
We're going to go swimming. Swimming in the middle of the French countryside.
Sweat that they're doing. So the ice vests or ice packs.
You mean ice pack vests?
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Cooler vests.
Yeah,
Esky vest.
Think of it like a floaty, but like with ice. Anyway, so just a zooper duper strapped frozen, to the body.
Frozen zooper dupers are ice lollies.
Yeah, icy poles. So there's a clip of him that I saw on Tumblr right before the race started, and he's taking off his ice vest and almost knocks it out because the ice hits him on his face. And there's a cute little still of him just going in the background.
Oh, yeah. What were you saying before about Verstappen asking Perez to give a toe as well?
Oh, yeah. So between the previous podcast and this one, I was I'm quite active on F1 Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Yeah, I think it's F1 Umbler. And there was something that there were a few posts that I think are important to note that we paid attention to during the race. One of them was interesting about the balance of the car and to see if they repeated Miami by not giving the enough water to each of the drivers.
Did they not give the drivers water in Miami?
They reduced the amount in order to create better balance. So the commentary throughout the entire thing was that the balance of the cars was quite good for the majority of them. And I don't think we heard anyone on the radio complaining about access to their drinking straws. Maybe we missed it, but
It wasn't actively
mentioned. Yeah. So that's one good thing too, that they didn't do a repeat there and had access to their drivers with their liquids, because it was 60 degrees once again.
It was 60 degrees track temp or something.
Yeah, 60 degrees track temp. And the other one, there's a couple of other things when it comes to the temperatures. There was a post that was put out that the F1 doctor, Riccardo Ciccarelli,
Ciccarelli.
Yeah. That's the F1 doctor.
That sounds like the name of our science teacher from high school,
Mr. Chick. He said something that before the races, the drivers are putting their race suit, body balaclava, and their gloves in the fridge, and their helmets in the freezer in order to keep the materials as cold for as long as possible. However, this doctor has come back and saying, although they're doing all of these additional measures to try and keep the bodies at optimum temperature prior to the race, he's concerned that the heat of the head during the race is getting to the point of critical levels where it's unsafe, where we could actually see negative repercussions, i.e., if they weren't able to access any fluids and their body was overheating, they're stuck in their fireproofs, at which point do they need to trigger a safety mechanism to get them out of the race for heat exhaustion? And I don't think it's been discussed.
How could you discuss that over the radio? Be like, hey, yep, I'm hot? You can't say that.
No, but you can.
Can you?
I feel as if you could be like, yeah, I'm struggling out here.
Dehydrated.
Dehydrated.
Or getting dizzy.
Yeah. Or
signs
you know
of
what?
Heat fatigue.
I've recognised I've stopped sweating. Yeah. Something as simple as that. And this is, as we mentioned before, this is not the first time they've had a hot race, but the hot races they've had have been very different.
Interesting to see what the FIA notes are.
Yeah. So the although Australia and Miami were hot races, they were street tracks. So there's very limited things you can do without established shade cover. And both of them were of different natures. And then you've got this one here, which looked like it was just... It looks apparently just barren.
But that run, the runoff area with the blue and red stripes,
the heat that would have generated from that instead of... Because it was black and blue and then black and red as opposed to just gravel.
Those black strips. Which would have a
completely different dissipating heat rate than the darker materials.
Or just like a normal, your street track, you still got shade, trees, buildings.
Australia, all of it was grass.
Or Miami with all of it being tarmac. Or you got the river. Yeah. Is it a river or is it a canal?
No, it's the Murray River. What, are you talking about in Miami?
Oh. Yeah, the Murray. The Murray's running up in the middle of Miami near the Miami Dolphins. It was a stadium. You're looking at me weirdly.
I'm trying to look at what type of water is it?
The racetrack was near the stadium. Well, you got the fake marina. Yeah,
fake marina. But no, so it'll be interesting to see going forward. It's summer over in Europe at the moment, and with this heat becoming a recurrence across multiple races, I wonder what they are going to do. Although we didn't stick around to watch all the interviews at the end, but although there didn't seem to be at the moment anything major negative from heat exhaustion within the race, I think it's going to be a talking point that will come up for the rest of the season, as well as the years to come, particularly when it comes to August. And as you mentioned during the race, they're doing their races at 3 p.m.
3 p.m. is the hottest point of the day.
Peak heat everybody is between 2:30 and 4:30.
But everybody knows you don't do things at that time of the day.
You don't go outside. You find the shade.
Slip, slop, slap.
Slip, slop, and slap.
What is it called? So there was a slogan back when we were kids. It was slip, slop, slap. Slip on a shirt, slap on a hat, slop on some sunscreen. And now it's slip, slop, slap, slide.
And shade.
They didn't even try to rhyme. But like everyone knows, like 3 p.m.'s peak daytime, it's the hottest point of the day.
And if they're concerned about car reliability as well. You're
in a big metal hot box on a big black radiating heat trap.
And then Mercedes have black race suits as well.
Oh.
Oh, my God. But mind you,
it was actually quite nice in the driver's parade where they did the national anthem. Pierre Gasly looked so happy.
And good on him for singing along. That's one of my pet peeves when it comes to here. I feel as if everyone who is a driver has a certain amount of pride for their own country, right? There's only, apart from, Britain and France... And
Spain,
yeah. Every other country only ever has one other driver at the moment, right?
No, France has two.
Yeah, apart from Britain, Spain, and France.
I'm tired.
Yeah, so apart from those ones, everyone else, am I missing someone else? Are they the only ones that have one? Oh, no, Germany has two. Yeah, sorry.
Who's the second?
Schumacher and Vettel are both German.
I always think Schumacher's Swiss, but anyway.
I think you gotta probably argue that. Schumacher is born in Switzerland.
So he's Swiss.
I think he gets to pick.
Do you get to pick?
I don't know. It's different in Europe.
But you would want to be patriotic about your country.
But it was lovely to see that Gasly was wholeheartedly singing along because no one ever sings to their anthem.
Or you cry like Checo when he won the podium.
Yeah, I mean that too. But so you know emotional. What? If that was you and I on there... Screw it. I am screaming out the Australian anthem.
Second verse.
Do the remix with how they release.
It's remix?
No, how they remix.
Who remixed the national anthem? Oh my God. They played the Qantas ad.
Yeah, I've been to cities. Yeah.
Oh my God, if you play.
You don't need verse two. Just play the Qantas ad on repeat.
If you play the Qantas ad. Guarantee you anybody in that arena, is it arena? That arena, every Australian will look up being like, who's playing this? Where's Hugh Jackman? Who's making me cry? I want my ginger beer.
They will all start singing and then they will all start crying at the exact same point.
But that being said, nobody sings to their national anthem.
Apart from Gasly.
Oh,
so although as a person who brings up a lot of red flags, that's a major green flag.
Blonde Jesus. And Silverstone.
Blonde Jesus. Sam Ryder.
Is that his name?
Eurovision guy.
Blonde Jesus. He not, got into not, his not national
your,
anthem.
Not your own personal Jesus.
No, no, blonde Jesus.
Your own blonde Jesus.
No, but he got really into the national anthem. Yeah,
did you see all of the British...
I'm very confused.
It cut away to Russell's face and the look of, I would say, 50% confusion, 50% disgust.
But it was nice. When he got distracted, along. It was nice to see Gasly singing along.
Another thing that came out before the actual race but post-qualifying was apparently or allegedly, supposedly, let's cover off all the bases here, Red Bull asked Perez within Q3 to provide Max a tow in order to give him an advantage at reaching a potential pole position for qualifying.
Yeah, but Perez was already in the top 10. Apparently, Perez didn't have a
Perez
penalty.
Flat out went, no.
Well, good. He didn't,
I'm not doing it.
He didn't have a penalty.
No, but it makes you wonder. In Q3, they have multiple running times. Yeah, typically your fastest lap is the last one.
Not necessarily, but yeah.
No, but like typically it's the last one you do. Why not let Perez give Verstappen the tow the first run.
And then let him do the better two.
And then let Perez have his own run in the second.
But he was struggling.
He was struggling. But maybe that's why they asked him to do a potential tow.
I don't know. If that was me and I had equal chances of getting pole position, assuming I can drive a F1 car and that's my chosen career path. Some alternate universe.
I feel
universe.
As if you're a little bit old to start that career path now. You can start when you're three.
Nick De Vries is our age. He hasn't started his F1 career yet, or is that a little bit too mean?
Is it mean if it's the truth? He has won Formula E, though. So he's a lot more accomplished in life than you are. And me.
I'm accomplished.
Yeah, not in the sense of world trophies, though.
Not in F1. Anyway, where was I saying? No, but if I was in Perez's position, I wouldn't want to help my teammate. They're already going to win anyway. Why would I want to help him even more? Let me get my fourth.
No, I feel as if he probably could have helped him out the first run and then do his own second run.
But what if that doing that one move is setting a precedence, I'm going to give up my race every single time for that? No,
I guess it is.
No. You would not want to set that precedence.
Yeah.
Maybe if you were a bad driver, but not if you had a chance.
And that's it. I think maybe potentially they asked Checo to do that because he had such a poor run in all of the practice sessions.
Yeah, maybe.
Although Max wasn't brilliant in all of them, he was doing significantly a lot better consistently-wise than Perez was. So, truth to be told, let's see what happens at Hungary to see if toes happen again. I would love to see if they try and fix something with the Ferrari throttle.
Yeah, because I don't think it'll be swept under the rug if something similar happens to Ferrari again.
Yeah, so we only have, 3 days turnaround before...
What's the day today? Today's Sunday, the 24th.
Is it the 24th?
The race... Yeah, today's the 24th because it's my boss's birthday.
That's the only reason why you remember the date.
It's in my calendar. It popped up today. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good to know. Nice. No, but the race is on the 28th of July. So that is...
next weekend. So we'll be doing another one of these.
T-minus.
Do you want to do this, before free practice, after free practice?
No, I want to do
after quali?
I think after quali because free practice is great. And our dad is a F1 fan, so we'll be watching the F1 with him. So
this will be a little bit delayed post.
Next week's will be delayed because love him to bits, but we can never leave Mum and Dad's house without talking afterwards. So you're not going to get this on the same day. It'll probably be the Monday after.
Yeah, definitely the Monday after.
Definitely not the day of. But we'll do the pre-race for Hungary post-quali. And then the race on the Monday whenever we wake up. Because the Hungary race is a stupid time.
No, I think Hungary is actually
isn't
okay
it like,
for us.
It starts at like 11 p.m.
I think it's a little bit later. But I think it actually turns out to be okay. Hold on. Let me have a quick
That's
look.
Still quite late though.
Yeah, it's better. I think Hungary turns out to be okay. But you know what? Doesn't matter how late it is because then they have their holidays. They've got 4 weeks.
Winter break.
Or 3 weeks.
Summer break.
They've got their break, so why not?
It'll be good nonetheless. I think Hungary. I'm looking forward to Hungary.
Oh, no, for us it's a 9 p.m.
Race start. Not bad.
Oh, they've updated the F1 app with the standings. So,
oh, so who is the standings? Okay, go.
So the Verstappen is first on 233. Duh. On 233 points. Leclerc is second.
Oh, he's still second.
On 170.
So what's the difference? Like what, 80?
63 points. There is 63 points between the two of them.
Jeez, okay.
Perez has held on to third at 163 points, so there's 7 points between Perez and Charles Leclerc.
Sainz
has very narrowly nabbed fourth at 144 points.
Go Sainz.
Russell is fifth at 143 points.
Mr. Consistency.
So Sainz needs to finish higher than Russell.
What have I always said? Life is more fun as a roller coaster or staying on track. On track, being consistent is key. It's very boring and it's very predictable, but it can get you places because Russell is a very good example of slowly moving his way up the ladder.
But you know one point away from fourth. Except over a whole career perspective. Okay, anyway, so Russell's fifth at 143 points. Hamilton is now sixth at 127. And then
Hamilton's done well.
The next big jump is Lando sitting at seventh at 70 points.
I thought you were going to say 7 points. I was like, wow, that's a big jump. No,
so Constructors has completely narrowed the gap again. So Red Bull, 396 sitting on first. Ferrari, 314. Mercedes, 270. Alpine are now fourth.
And McLaren's fifth.
At 93 points. McLaren now fifth at 89.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Hungary. I would love to see people run a couple of the juniors in their beginning races because we've still got so many who haven't run. So we'll probably talk about that next race. So next podcast, I mean, sorry.
The only team that doesn't have to run a new driver is Alpha.
Yeah, they're the ones that have run both because Joe's first...
Classifies as a rookie.
Yeah, classifies as his race for his first
in
one.
Kubica.
Yeah, and they've done that for Bottas, so...
I wonder who'll do Spa. Anyway, we digress. That'll be next week's podcast. Or is it this week if the week starts on Sunday?
This week. I hope all of you enjoyed the race. Congratulations to all of you Hamilton
fans
and Verstappen fans. Condolences to all of us dear Ferrari fans. However, you know what? Danny Rick did okay.
Hey, Danny Rick did okay.
He got some points.
And he kept close to Norris, which was good.
He did really well.
So he's struggling in the car, but he's doing well. I feel like anybody in his position would be doing the same, if not worse. So good on him.
He's doing as best as he can, given the equipment he's been given.
And driving a car that's made for Lando, but again...
That's a different conversation. Different day.
Different day. But that is it. Calling it a wrap. French Grand Prix.
2022. Done. Maybe we'll see you in 2023. Who knows at this point, but...
I wonder if they'll get rid of the French Grand Prix.
We can talk about the pros and cons of different racetracks and what we could do as an ideal as a different... podcast topic, but
I don't know about you, but I kept getting motion sick for looking at the stripes.
Yeah, well, you know what? No, we're done with Paul Ricard. Okay. We're done with Jimmy Ricard.
Okay, and with that, thank you for listening. Wear your grid gas bags. Until next time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.